When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
ESNY. All right, what up? Welcome back. Episode 123 of the Wider Eye Podcast. As always, we are your hosts, Ryan Honey and Robert Lettinen. Podcast is brought to you by Elite Sports New York and Elite Sports Radio Network. Big games for New York football this weekend. Giants at home against the Lions at 1. Jets on the road against the Patriots, also at 1 o'clock.
Rob, I don't think I'm being too, I don't think I'm over-exaggerating here. This is Zach Wilson's, like, biggest game of his life for, like, five different reasons.
Yeah, I think
he's sucked against them. They've sucked against them. Either they could just as easily be in first after Sunday as they could be in last. They could be in first place after Sunday. They could also be in last. It depends on, you know, that game and the Buffalo game. Obviously, Miami's on a bye.
Yeah.
He's got a chance to redeem himself against the Pats. They have a chance to sort of change the course of history with, I mean, this, they have a chance this year to finish with a better record than the Pats for the first time since 2000. So in a year in which that's finally possible, they could finally beat them for the first time since Ryan Fitzpatrick was under center and change the course of history. And Zach could be a part of that. It's the biggest game of his life. I don't care what happened against Buffalo before the bye. I don't care that he's 5-1 this year. Like, Sunday is must win. Must produce Zach Wilson. I mean, he must win. He must produce. It's bottom line. It's a must win game.
Yeah. I mean, there's. I mean, first of all, the Jets. What 13 game losing streak to the Pats or 11 now?
Yeah, 13 with like an average margin of like 19 points.
Yeah, and to say that he is a reason we lost against the Pats is very fair. I'm not obviously not going to put the complete blame on just him.
Yeah, JFM
like
too.
Like I said, JFM, that if he called, like, there, the missed offensive pass interference on the first touchdown, whatever. That's not the point. It's not completely on him. However, I think the time of saying that the pass of this team, it's over. Ever since Tom Brady left, Bill Belichick has lost both years after the bye. He's lost both games against the Lions and the Bears, who are not high-caliber teams, especially in the last 2 years. So,
oh, really?
I think it's, yeah, the last 2 years,
yeah,
after the bye, they've lost the
even though the
year.
Lions have so much hype every year, and then, like, because, like, yeah. Dan Campbell, yeah, biting kneecaps, Hard Knocks, and all of a sudden they're 1-6.
Yeah, so I don't want to hear it that Bill Belichick is this, you know, this mastermind at this point anymore. He's lost Brady, and I'm not saying, like, oh, he, like, it's not fair to judge him because he doesn't have an elite-level quarterback, and he did make Mac look decent last year, but at the same time, like, he isn't that guy, I don't think, that you fear. And I don't think they're that team that you fear. Plain and simple, if Zach played like he did against the Bills, against the Pats, I think we blow them out by probably 20-something points. I don't think it's a debate. I don't think it's a close game at all. I think that we dominate them thoroughly if Zach plays well. And I think the fans have had enough of being bullied by the Pats and, like, being the laughingstock of, you know, the Pats franchise, always, like, being like, you can't beat us. We're going into their home, but, like, all will be forgotten about that first game against the Pats if he goes out, balls out. Even if he doesn't ball out, if he plays good enough to where we win the game, doesn't make mistakes, maybe throws a touchdown, runs for one, like, everyone's going to be like, okay, that's fair. But, like, I think that the only reason that we could possibly lose this game is if he has another bad game. And I think that the fans are kind of ready, like, one way or another. Like, they're either – I think this is a huge turning point in his career as to whether the fans embrace him if he balls out, beats them, especially if he does what he did against the Bills and maybe even more. I mean, the last time they played, he threw 300-something passing yards and 2 touchdowns. If he could minimize the turnovers and do the exact same thing, I think the fan – like, he's going to be you know, huge in the fans' eyes. People are going to rally behind him. He's going to have the full support. If he sucks, throws another three picks, the fans are going to be
screwed if he throws three picks.
The next time he comes out. Like, it's plain and simple. We've seen it with every New York team. If you don't play, they're going to boo you. If he doesn't ball out the next time he's home, like, people are going to boo him. And I know he's still young and he's still going to have those bad games, but, like, this is not the game to do that. This is the game where he has to have best – he has to play the best football that he could possibly play this game, win the game, and therefore I think that this is, like – I think this could be a huge momentum builder for the team and for him going forward.
Like I said, like, it's – they can be in first place just as easily as they could be in last after Sunday. Like, he could be beloved by Jet fans just as easily as there could be the bust narrative on New York sports radio and Monday morning and all the headlines. And it could be a disaster. It could be an absolute whirlwind, fantastic Sunday for Jets fans just as easily as it could be an absolute disaster, which is what it was 3 weeks ago against the same exact division opponent. But there's about five legitimate reasons why it's the biggest game of his life. And it's not, we're not far-fetched by saying that, you know, they finally have an opportunity to make noise in that conference and in that division. They're finally on track to have a better record than the Pats, but even if they finish with a better record than the Pats and still make the playoffs, getting swept by New England again is going to be a blemish on that record.
It is
no matter what, because they cannot beat that team. So until they do, it's always going to be a blemish on the record, no matter how good. Not that the Jets have done great since the last time they beat the Patriots. It's not like they've been a playoff team. But even if they are, like, losing to New England twice again and getting swept by them for the third straight year, for the seventh straight year, and the third straight year even after the Tom Brady era, like, It's a disappointment and it's unacceptable. Like, there's so much pressure on him this Sunday, and I feel bad, but I don't, because he's 23, but he is a pro football player, and that's the job. That's why he's getting paid so much. But the pressure is on him, and he's got to show up. And if he doesn't, and if he throws another three picks and the completion percentage continues to be low and the passer rating continues to be low, and they're second. I believe the completion percentage is third to last in the league. And I think the passer rating is second to last. You know, if it's a three interception game, and if he's not in sync with his receivers, it's going to be a total disaster. And I don't know, like, I still think highly of Bill. I don't love that offense. I'm not saying that
Bill isn't, I mean, Bill Godown is debatably the best coach of all time, if not the best. But I'm just saying that, like, I don't think with the roster we have and the way we have shown we can play, like, this should be a team we should go into and just be like, this is a win. Like, you have to go in. Our roster is astronomically better than theirs. Like, there's no doubt about that. I don't think that you could really compare the two. Like, I think our wide receiver group's much better. They have solid corners. I would say we have a top three cornerback duo. And
I think you arguably have the best cornerback
duo. You arguably, but the top three, no doubt. And then Mosley's been balling. Quincy Williams has been good. Quentin Williams is honestly probably the best D tackle this season thus far. So and you know, like, not like JFM. I mean, JFM has made his mistakes that have cost us a lot. And, you know, but if he can clean that up, Carl Lawson still, you know, he's not getting the numbers we want him to see, but he's still causing havoc. And, like, our defense is so good, and our offense has the ability, like, Michael Carter, like, I mean, yes, we lost Breece. Yes, we lost Elijah. Yes, we're down Mekhi. I mean, whether or not that's a big deal, you know, is what it is. But at the end of the day, like, I mean, this is a team that we need to go in, and we need to, it has to be like that monkey off your back type of, like, they are the kryptonite in the Jets. To be fair, the Jets have sucked so bad the last, you know, like 8 years that it hasn't mattered, because it's like, you're bound to lose to the Pats because you suck anyway. But it's like, now that we don't suck, this is where you have to say, like, the Pats aren't this team that is going to continue to bully us every single year and beat us every single year.
Can you imagine if they lose this game, the Jets do, and they meet them in the playoffs? and then they lose again.
No, I couldn't imagine. I'd fucking die.
Everybody would be.
I'm moving to the Philippines. Like, I'm out. I'm done.
Everybody would be like, fire this guy. Fire. It would be a disaster. And it's not like them facing each other in the playoffs is impossible. I mean, all four of those teams could make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be tough for all four to make, but any four of them can make it. You know, it's not like anyone in that division is out of it by any means.
No, I mean, they're all currently in position to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Pats are in last place, and they're a game and a half back of Miami, I think, right? Yeah, they're a game and a half back of Miami. Yeah. I think they're in the wild card. I think they would be, or no, I have to check. I don't know the exact.
The Pats are the last wild card. The Jets are the second or the third. Yeah, they're the second wild. No, they're the first wild card. They'd be five. They play the Ravens.
Giants are now. Giants are now number the. 15. Giants are now the top wild card. Big win for the Giants, even though obviously Houston is the worst team in the NFL. But it's they needed. Of course, Houston hits the field goal. What's that?
I mean, you just needed a win. I mean, and you did. That's the thing. I mean, was like, it pretty? Houston, no, but you won.
You know, what's annoying is that Houston kicked the field goal with like 8 seconds left to make it 24-16. So it technically ended up as another one possession win for the Giants.
Yeah.
Like it was one of those things where the Texans were down 24-13. So they clocked it, kicked it, and then tried to get the onside kick. And it's like the Giants were this close to finally winning a game by like, 11 or 13. It's like, no, they won by 8. So it's technically every win.
They actually haven't done that yet. They haven't won a game by more than one possession.
No.
Really? Jesus.
Not that I know of. No.
I didn't even know that.
Well, I mean, honestly. They've won every game by at least at the most 8 points.
I did not know that.
At the most 8 points. Yeah. Yeah, I think they've won twice by 8 points. Like if
I
you
think
go,
that speaks volumes of how good your defense is. Obviously, it doesn't look great for the offense, but I mean,
the offense isn't gonna look. Yeah, they beat the Titans by one, Panthers by three, Bears by eight, Packers
Panthers
five,
by three,
Ravens
is bad,
four,
bad, but...
Jags.
I mean,
that's six.
The thing. It's like your season's so weird. Like you beat the Ravens, like you beat the Titans. The Titans, to be fair, looked really bad opening week. And now they look good, but like
yeah, the Titans looked the
and
Titans
then they, like, barely beat the Panthers. Like
I mean, because
there was that missed pick six on the Panthers' behalf as well. I mean, wins a win. At the end of the day, wins a win.
The thing is this: the Giants. It's tough for the Giants to win by a significant number of points because they're very defensive minded and they're a run based offense.
Yeah,
so
they want to limit the opportunity of turnovers on the like they want to
they want to eliminate
Daniel Jones turning the ball
the response yeah they don't want to limit the responsibility of Daniel Jones but I think it's not so much them wanting to limit the responsibility
limit the
of Daniel Jones it's not like they don't trust him. I think they're just playing to their strengths, and I think it's obvious that Saquon is a strength. But the thing with Jones, and by the way, I put out something on ESNY this week. I'm thinking he gets a contract, Jones. He's not getting tagged because the tag is like $30 million.
Yeah, you're not paying him 30.
I'm thinking he gets a contract that's 3 years, $66 million. So it's key. He's getting $22 million a year. He's not getting, it's not as much as from an annual standpoint, it's not as much as the franchise tag would be, but it's more than he's going to get on the open market because he's just not that, he's not getting a lot on the open market.
You're not in the position to get somebody any better than him. That's the thing.
Exactly. Like if they were 2-7, this is a different story. But they're not.
Yeah, if they were 2-7, he's gone. Like
that's the thing. Like I was expecting to already have my offseason blueprint ready because I thought they were gonna suck. I thought they were gonna be like they would have been 1-8 at this point, and you're gonna be saying goodbye to Jones and Barkley and so many other guys. And all of a sudden that's not the case. And so you're not, and they're 7-2. Yeah. Are they going to make the playoffs? Probably. Are they going to win the Super Bowl? No, but they're not going to be in the position to draft a quarterback, and they're not really going to be in the position to sign a free agent, because these, the big name quarterbacks, they don't go on the market.
Never hit. Like
they lock, they, those teams, there's a reason the market next year is Baker, Garoppolo, you know, Bridgewater, I think Jameis maybe. It's guys just see every year because they all just get 1 year deals because they're either bridge starters or very good backups. Like these big time quarterbacks, they, these teams are locking them in as soon as they can. The Chiefs got 2 years out of Patrick Mahomes as a starter, and they signed him to a decade long contract that was $500 million. So they can't, so they can't get a quarterback in that way, because I don't know if they're going to be patient enough to have a bridge of Garoppolo or Baker or whoever it may be. And they can't, draft a kid, because I'm not trusting them to draft someone late in the first round or in the second round and call that kid the future of the franchise. So it's, they have no choice. They have to, they got to do it. And he's deserved it too. He's shown he's a fit in the offense. He's limited the turnovers. He hasn't made the big mistakes. I thought the throw to Slayton when he was getting ripped to the ground against the Texans was outrageous. I was like, why would you throw that? And all of a sudden Slayton bobbles it, reels it in, and breaks off a 54-yard run for a touchdown. Like, it's just like he's limited the turnover, even though he's made some questionable throws still, and he'll always make questionable throws. Eli made questionable throws for 16 years. He's limited the turnovers, and he's shown that he can fit in that offense. And if they sign him to like a $66 million deal over 3 years, I think they can structure in a way where it's team friendly. I think they could give him a hefty signing bonus so the cap hits aren't big each year, and they could focus on other positions. They could focus on addressing other spots. And let's be real. Daniel's a smart kid, and he's a good kid. He's going to understand the situation. He's going to know he's not going to get money. He's not going to get a lot of money in the open market.
He's not getting that mega deal. He just had him.
Yeah, and he knows they're not going to franchise tag him. He understands that. He's smart about it. And
I think he realized in the open market at best he's getting 20 to 25. At best. Like, at absolute best, that's how much he's getting. And I think 22 – over 2 years is a solid deal. Like, I think that's something that he'll, I think it'd be stupid not to take that in a heartbeat. I think that it would be shocking to me if another team was to be like, you know, we're going to offer you that. Cause at the end of the day, he is, I think he's playing at a level that's just above what you would want out of a bridge guy. But like we said, I don't think Daniel wins you a Super Bowl. I don't think he's that type of player.
No, I don't think either. And I think one of the arguments against bringing him back is the fact that he's not one of those guys. Well, he can't stack up against the NFC playoff quarterbacks. Like, when it gets to January and the Giants possibly have to face whether it's Minnesota or Philly again, or Tampa Bay in the playoffs, like, and he's got to go against Cousins or Hurts or Brady or whoever it may be. Or if they play if the Rams somehow come back, he's got to face Stafford. I don't think they will. I think they're a total mess. But you're gonna see very quickly that he might not stack up with these these playoff quarterbacks and these guys and these high powered offense these high powered offenses that rely on the pass game. Because if they're playing a team like Minnesota in the playoffs, they could easily find themselves trailing in the second half, and then they have to throw the ball. And then what happens? Like, if you have to rely on Daniel to pull you back into a game, and I'm not talking one drive, I'm talking a couple drives. Yeah. Like, if they have to keep up with a high powered offense in the playoffs, can he be trusted to do that? And if he cannot, then that's an issue, and I think that's going to play a role. But ultimately, I think the Giants are sort of trapped, but at the same time, I think they have – I think when it comes to the financials, I think they have leverage, and I think they have a lot of it. And I honestly think a $22 million per year for 3 years, but it's structured in a way where they can get out from under it after two if they need to.
Yeah. I think my only concern with him would be, you know, if the Giants decide to move on from Saquon, like if that's their idea, then what happens? Then how does he look without him? Like, what is he without Saquon? I'm not saying, like, I think you'd be stupid to say that Saquon leaving wouldn't change the offense, because it would. You're not going to have a running back that you can, that's going to be top tier unless you draft somebody. Maybe, you know, you go, maybe, I mean, I don't think Bijan Robinson drops that far to you guys, but maybe he does. Or Jameer, maybe you got someone like Jameer and, like, you try to make it work. I mean, look how Breece Hall was a second-round pick. Look how good he looked. Kenneth Walker, second-round pick. He's been dominating. Damian Pierce was even later dominant. Yeah. Like, so, yes, you could find guys. But I'm just saying, like, for what Saquon has provided him, being that safety blanket, the running game being so potent as it is, it's if you let Saquon go, because let's be honest, running back isn't a premium position. And I think the fact that you see how many, you know, running backs that are starting to creep into people's top 10 with Damian Pierce, Ken Walker, Breece Hall would be there, like, and they were all taken late. Or can you really justify paying someone like Saquon, who's going to ask for minimum $12 million, when you could get a rookie on a, you know, what a second round year, what a second year people even make? A few million a year? Like, can you justify paying Saquon four, five times as much money? That's the question. And I'm not saying that.
I think one of the reasons.
Like, it's going to be tough to, like, make everything else work for your team while you realize you can get running backs. So, wait, people ripped the Jets for drafting Breece Hall. Ripped the Jets, saying it wasn't a position of need. It's a premium pick. So,
yeah, I ripped them right now.
If you're going to keep that energy with the Jets, then, like, you can't sit there and tell me Saquon's worth $50 million. Like,
no, well, number one, I do that now because he's hurt. Like,
yeah.
Now I'm siding with the dude from PFF who, like, went off.
We know how smart those people are.
Right. What you call it? And then with Saquon, I think one of the reasons why you give Daniel that type of deal is so you have the cap flexibility. So one of the things you can do is bring Saquon back. Now I think they'll franchise tag Saquon, and I think, you know, maybe if he's unhappy with it, they try to trade him.
That's fair.
They try to get a deal done there, but I think, you know, one of the reasons why you give Daniel that type of deal is so you. What's that?
How much is the franchise tag for running back? I won't look it up.
It's projected at like $12 million, I think, per over the cap, which is the superior of the contract websites. If I'm gonna give my take on the contract websites, over the cap is pretty fire.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I'll figure it out. 2022.
But yeah, it's like quarterback is like
12.6 now. Okay.
12.6. What's quarterback exactly?
31.497.
I rounded up. I mean, that's the only two you would even think about tagging.
For the most part.
What are they gonna tag? What are they gonna tag Darius Slayton? Like,
oh, you're talking about for the Giants? Yeah.
Yes.
You're not tagging any of your receivers to the franchise tag. 19.8. Like, definitely not franchising tagging.
Darius Slayton's getting $19.8 million. I wonder what they'll do with him. Yeah. I bet you they don't bring him back. I mean, Daniel Jones trusts him and has a good connection with him that it's sort of reviving itself after a couple years. But I don't think – jeez. I don't think
So if you let him go and you get to Galladay – you know, you got rid of Tony, who, by the way, looked pretty solid for the Chiefs.
Yeah, he did, because he's good.
and then did you see him, like, fake limp into the end zone?
I don't know if it was a fake limp. He was tiptoeing the sideline, like.
Yeah, and then he jumps on one leg. Like, that was a weird celebration. I'm not saying it was directed at the Giants, but
I don't think it was.
So if you don't bring back Satan, who are you going into next season with?
A receiver?
Like, Wandell, and then the practice squad.
Wandell. I mean, whoever comes back, as far as, like, the reserves are concerned, you don't know if they're going to bring back David Sills or Richie James or any of those names. As far as what they do a receiver next year, I mean, Wandell is there. You know, who knows what's going to happen with guys like Sills, Marcus Johnson, Richie James. You know, Colin Johnson's on IR. It's not going to be a pretty wide receiver group, but it's not now. So that's why if they're bringing Jones back and their franchise tag in Barkley, I think they got a, you know, I think receiver in first round is.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, I'm
think, yeah. And receiver in first round. Don't sign the big name receiver. Don't dish out $18 million a year.
Well,
don't make the big move. Good. Okay. Don't overpay for a guy who's supposed to be a number one receiver who had one or two good years in Detroit.
I'm looking at it now. The highest average annual is Nelson Agholor, like currently making. Then you go down a little bit. Like the only notable names are Lazard, Jacoby Myers, Juju. Like it's tough. It's a tough free agent market for wide receiver. Like coming up.
I'm going to look up.
I would sign Kobe as a wide receiver too, for sure. But it depends on how much you want.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, so I would. They're not bringing back Shepard. I mean, that's.
No, Shepard. I think Shepard. Shepard might get signed for real low by somebody, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Williams. I'm looking at the free agents right now in all the positions. Jamal Williams could get a decent bag to be the RB1 somewhere.
Maybe.
I'm not saying 12 mil. More than
I mean, the only free agents I would look at are ones that they could sign for like a 1 year deal. That's where it's low risk, potentially high reward, like a potentially high upside signing.
Juju's had a decent year, so he may be asking for quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, Juju's one name. It doesn't need to be a star. There's some guys who are going to be Julio. Jacoby Myers. I mean, I could see the Pats trying to bring him back. Juju's a name I would look at. Jarvis, I feel like, is going to be too expensive. Not too expensive, but I just don't. I don't know. I mean, hey, if they bring Odell back, I mean, maybe they bring Jarvis too. Like maybe they pair him up. Pair them up again. I mean, there's a couple names. I mean, Sammy Watkins is there. Going down to like where the rookie contracts are. Guys like Marquez Callaway.
Guys who you could sign for a year.
They gotta draft somebody as far as because you may be looking at a scenario next year where if anybody is the wide receiver one, it's Wandale or a potential rookie they draft.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I don't even want them to be in a scenario where there's a true number one wide receiver because that's an offense that relies on the slot receiver a lot. Just get you know, speedy, shifty receivers and involve all of them. You know, I don't want an offense that's just one, you know, there's one guy up here, there's the Cooper Kupp, and then there's just everybody else. Like,
yeah,
I want everybody to be involved. You know, the defense to be overwhelmed by the number of playmakers. That's why I was so excited about this year, because I'm like, they got Tony and they got Wando Robinson, who's the same type of receiver. Like, this could be dangerous. And they finally and they have an offensive minded head coach who could make that work.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Tony's the Tony saga continues until it ends. And then Wandell is hurt for a couple games, scored a touchdown against Baltimore. And he's looking like he's a pretty good player, but, you know, he's not star yet, but they gotta draft someone receiver in the first round, I think, they probably could find somebody, or maybe honestly I wouldn't mind them doing it in the second round. You could find a high value guy. You could find good value in the second round of receiver.
Yeah,
100%.
But you need somebody. Like you need somebody somewhere. Like you can't, like, going in with what you have now is not gonna cut it.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it's like, I mean, how long are the other excuses going to continue? Because, like, if Jones, again, doesn't do too well, like, you know, does all right, but, you know, you fail to make the playoffs next year, or you make it out, bounce first round and all that stuff. The question is, you know, when does it stop? When do the excuses stop coming in? When do you stop saying, oh, well, he didn't have the receivers. Oh, well, he didn't have this. He didn't have that. You know, because that was the excuse people were making for Darnold when he was with the Jets.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you're not like we didn't provide him with enough, and then we moved on. And like, yeah, did we? You know, we didn't do what we needed to do with Darnold. But at the end of the day, it's like, when push comes to shove, you gotta be good. It doesn't matter Like, at the end of the day, like, yes, we should have helped you, but, like, when it comes to money and it comes to everything else, you move on. And, like, now this is where we're in the position with where the Jets are in this current position. If Zach doesn't work out, he's got definitely until the end of this year. He most likely has the end to the end of next year, unless he absolutely is atrocious. But, like, he most likely has the end of, he most likely has until the end of next year to basically prove, because we have it lined up. You have the, you have a strong running back core. You have strong receivers. You have a solid O-line, good defense that can win games. Like, you can win. Prove it that you're this good. Now, if you're going to sit there and kind of that, but that's why it's almost good. Cause it's like next year, if Zach isn't good enough to win playoff games, then I think it's plain and simple. You move on. And I think that, like, the longer you make these excuses for these quarterbacks, like, the more you're screwing yourself over. Like that's the thing is, like, you, I don't think the Giants have gotten a clear-cut answer on whether or not Jones is the guy. I don't think you could sit there with certainty and tell me, oh, yeah, like, Jones is the starter, or, oh, yeah, like, no, I'm done with Jones. Like, I think you, like, you know, it's kind of hard to lean one way or the other. So, you know, you need to get rid of those excuses and basically be like, all right, now's your time to win football games and win playoff games. Not just win football games, but also win playoff games. So, that's think that's the thing. Like, you like, hopefully you could figure it out. You get a good guy in the draft, and if he's not the guy next year, then you're starting to realize, you know, it's time to start getting ready to move on, find somebody in the draft or find somebody somewhere.
I can't wait to have the conversation about, like, I wonder if, like, next year we'll have, or in 2 years we'll have a conversation like, oh, I wonder what Zach's contract may look like. Like, I wonder if it's like, I wonder, what if it's the same exact scenario in, like, 2 years, where, like, they're good and they're winning games and Salah's a good coach, and but they haven't exactly peaked yet. They haven't gotten over that hump. And the reason they haven't gotten over the hump is because they don't employ a productive, consistent, mistake-free
quarterback. They don't have an elite quarterback.
Right. I wonder, like, at least, like, Daniel's in a unique situation where, you know, it's like the Giants are winning the games, but he hasn't played great.
But he hasn't played bad.
But he hasn't sucked. Yeah. And what he's been asked to do is to not suck.
Yeah,
because they know it's a run-based offense, and he knows that as well, and they know they have no receivers, and he knows that as well. They know it better than we do and anybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not to the Jets ask so much more from Zach. So much more. Michael, oh my God. They have this guy, this kid has been, this kid runs around everywhere. They ask him to do so much. So if you're looking at a scenario in 2 years where if he's still struggling, he's still making the mistakes, and he's still not beating divisional opponents like the New England Patriots, like, it's not going to be the same scenario that Daniel's in. It might not be.
No, where it's, like, the thing is there's positives and negatives to where you're playing to Jones' strength and to your team's strength. But like I said, you're not proving whether or not Jones is the guy. It's still up in the air. And, like, I've heard Giant fans say, what do you mean he's 100% the guy? Let's, you know, lock him in. I've heard people say, fuck no, I don't want him anywhere near my team. And I've heard people in the middle being like, what you're saying, like, three-year deal, tie him down for a little bit, see what happens. And I think that what we're doing with Zach is we're putting him under the pressure. We're making the offense basically run through him, which is is it fair to him? I mean, like you said earlier, you're a professional quarterback. You have to understand it's going to happen. Like, a lot of stress on him, a lot of pressure. Of course it is. But at the end of the day, I don't think we'll be in the same position as the Giants are now. I think by the end of next year, we will know, like, is this guy or is this not the guy? And of course, you're always going to have those people that are like, you know, no matter how good or how bad, they're going to be on one side or the other. But I think the consensus about whether or not Zach should be signed long term will be known by the end of next year. I think that they're just going to keep putting him in those situations and just say, basically, listen, we're putting the pressure on you. Either you win or you're done. And I think, like I said, like, you guys are winning games now, and, like, you're playing to your strengths, you're playing well. But I the thing is if Zach doesn't at least show he can somewhat consistently be an elite quarterback and at least show the ability to win against divisional opponents, win playoff games, or, like, but, you know, maybe even just keep us in playoff games. Like, at the end of the day, it's like, if you're not going to win me a Super Bowl, I don't want you on my team. Like, I don't want you as a quarterback. Like, it's the day and the age.
It's a harsh reality.
It's a harsh reality of we're playing, like, we're going into the AFC Championship, if we ever make it there, in the next 15 years, and who are we playing? We're playing Patrick Mahomes. We're playing Josh Allen. We're playing Lamar Jackson. Like,
Tua.
Maybe. I mean, Tua doesn't really win anything, but.
Russell Wilson. Playing, could you imagine?
He's not making it anyway.
But, oh, God.
Like, you're playing those three guys. You're, like most likely, you're going to end up between Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Herbert. Like, I mean, those five guys, you're talking about top 10 guys right now.
Yeah.
If
no, I get it.
Compete with them. At the end of the day, you gotta go. Like, you
it's
have
the
to
same
at least be
thing
able
with
to
Daniel.
Hold.
Dude, it's the
you
same
have to be able to
thing.
Hold your own with those guys.
Yeah.
Or I don't like you're not the quarterback of the franchise. Like, plain and simple. And it's just it's the harsh reality of, and it's been the same for years. I mean, like, yeah, like does it seem to have gotten worse? Yeah. But like at the same time, back in the day, who were we going up against? Brady. We're going up against Peyton Manning. Like, at the end of the day, like, you're going up against these guys that are absolute studs. If you can't prove to me that you can at least keep, like, you don't have to be as good as them. I mean, asking for Zach to be Patrick Mahomes is, you know, that would be a godsend. But, like, to at least be able to keep yourself in games with them and compete with them is I think, the bar at this point. And I think it's the bar for every quarterback. Like, and like you said with Daniel, like, you don't expect him to go into the NFC champion or playoffs. And compete with these Brady's, these Cousins, these whatever. Like, and I think that's what you have to think with Zach is, like, if you're not going to be able to compete or keep us in games with those guys, then, like, you really can't be our franchise quarterback. And it's a harsh reality, but when push comes to shove, like, you need that elite level guy if you want to have a consistent chance at, like, winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's the same thing with coaching. Like, it's the reason why, like, Mike McCarthy gets flack, because, like, he'll get to the playoffs, but he's not winning those playoff games.
No, you know? And the one, like, he won once with Rodgers, who and like the one time Rodgers had a top five defense, they won. Like, you rolled the coattails of Rodgers and a top five defense. Like, he couldn't do it again. And you're talking about, you know,
look
Rodgers
at Sean Payton
for Rodgers.
Look at Sean Payton. I mean, like, Sean Payton wasn't, like, you know, Sean Payton never caught any flack for this, and I don't know why he didn't. But, like, I'm pretty sure in Breeze's last four seasons, the Saints won, like, 49 total games and didn't reach a single Super Bowl in that span.
I mean, the Saints are always consistent.
You know how, like, it's one thing, like, you and I have followed our teams for years, and we have seen everything I'm talking both teams. We've seen worst teams in the league. We've seen Super Bowls. Like, it's just how it's been. Do you know how frustrating it must be for Saints fans and Packer fans too every year, where you just win all the, I mean, Saints not now because, you know, that it's the post Breeze era and they don't have a quarterback, but with, you know, the Packers, it's every year it's divisional, NFC divisional game or NFC championship, and then they lose. Like, every single year. Like, could you imagine winning 50 games in 4 years? The Giants won 8 in 4 years. You imagine winning 50 in 4 years? You don't even make it to a single title game, a single Super Bowl. Do you know how frustrating that gets for a fan base every single time? Because you've accomplished the 12-win season. You've accomplished the playoff berth. You've accomplished the first-round bye or the first-round win. Then that division round or NFC championship every year, that is a new goal every single time. And they just could not. Yeah. I mean, Sean Payton got a pass it in 09 with the Saints. And then Rodgers and the Packers did it in 2010. But it's – for four straight years, they're losing in the playoffs, and that would drive me nuts.
Yeah,
as a fan, if you're consistently one of the best teams in the league, and then you can't get over that hump, every year,
and not to mention you consistently have, like, at the time, like, for the majority of the career, they're both top five quarterbacks. I mean, talking about Rodgers, the last 2 years have won back to back MVPs. He's won back to back MVPs, and you lose, and, like. Yeah, some of the blame is put on him. We're not going to sit here and say putting up 10 points against the 49ers isn't partly on him, because it is, but
there's some people who
it's partially on the there's some people who put everything on him. They're saying
no. I was going to say there's some people who don't have Breeze in the top 10 all time, and I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, Breeze is
Breeze is statistically one of the Breeze's statistically, just statistically, I'm not, but we'll get into a conversation about everything overall. Statistically, Breeze is like a top three quarterback all time, right? He's number two in passing yards behind Brady. And yeah, like, I mean, people, so he's number one. Brady doesn't count. I mean, no one was beating Brady when it comes to a longevity record. Like, it's like he's played for 20 years.
The only person that even has a slight chance would be Mahomes. But Mahomes, I think Mahomes would have, how many Super Bowls do you think Mahomes has to win to be in the conversation?
For greatest of all time?
Like to compete with Brady. I'm not saying he has to match Brady, because Brady has what, six?
Seven.
Seven? Like, how many do you think total for there to be like a solid debate that Mahomes, like, Mahomes
is the greatest of all time?
It's better than him, yeah.
I don't know. When you talk about overall, if Mahomes only wins three, like, you're going to knock him for winning three Super Bowls?
because it's not seven.
Like, it's three Super Bowls.
If he wins four, you can make a legitimate argument.
I think if he wins three, you can, because it's still three.
Yeah, it's still a lot.
That's still, like, you can't, like, what are you going to knock him for only winning three just because it's not Brady's seven? Brady's seven isn't going to be matched. No. Like, that's not happening. Like, he's figured out, with this whole TB12 thing, like, he's figured out how to stay in shape in order to compete at such a high level at 45 years old. Like, yeah. I know the TB12 method isn't like this top secret thing. Like, you could go buy the book or whatever, like, learn how to do it. But, like, I don't know. I think he's just done everything correctly to keep his body in the best shape possible for 22 years. And I think everybody else tries to do that.
Yeah.
And he's good. Listen. Brady's going to get to a point where he is absolutely done. I don't know when that is. I don't know if it's happening before our eyes, because it hasn't. I mean, let's be honest. Brady statistically hasn't been awful this year. I mean, he's still up there when it comes to the passing yard leaders.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like clockwork. But at the same time, they're not very good. I know they've won two straight. I think they've won two straight since he announced the divorce.
Yeah.
And she's already with a new man, I think.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. She moves quick, apparently. She's on to a jiu-jitsu instructor, I think.
Is it now?
I saw there was the report about a dinner date in Costa Rica. She's moving on. Hey, good for her. Anyway,
Brady.
Yeah. But Brady's going to be done at some point. I don't know if it's going to be this year. I don't know if it's next year. I don't know if it's in three. I don't know. But it's not like Brady, you know, we act like Brady can play till he's like 55. He's not going to. He's not playing for another 10 years. He's not playing for another 5 years. He's not even – I don't even think he's going to play for another two.
Yeah.
I think he's done after this year, honestly.
I think he should be, but whether or not he is, because the whole divorce maybe he comes back for one more year. Maybe.
If you had $1,000 to bet on who who dates him next, who do you say?
So it's got to be someone famous and someone older.
It doesn't have to be older necessarily. I mean,
Leo only dates people up to 25, so.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's Leo, but. Leo used to date Giselle.
Did he back before she was 25?
Yeah, for about like for a while too. They did it for like 5 years.
Damn, I don't know. That's a good question. Do you have someone in mind? Is that what you're asking me?
I don't know if I have someone in mind.
Crowd he runs in, really.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing. I don't know. He doesn't hang around.
He's not like a celebrity. Like,
he's more of like an entrepreneurial guy.
I can see him possibly dating like maybe a type of like someone involved in the athletics crowd, because I feel like he's, if anything, going to be more involved with people.
So you think maybe like a sports agent? Or
maybe
someone
like a sports agent, but someone that's like connected to the sports like area. So maybe like it doesn't have to necessarily be an athlete, but maybe someone that's just like at least in the sporting crowd. Like, you know how like
someone who is not an A-list celebrity, but very well respected and known in their own field.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe like
someone like low key, or it could be like, I mean, hey, like Kate Upton was heavily involved. Like, she was, like, dating a lot of sports people, and now she's with Verlander. Could be someone like her, like, someone that's, like, maybe is an A-list celebrity, but, like, hangs out more so with the sport group. Because, like, I mean, to be fair, he can date – I mean, he can get into any group he wants. He's Tom Brady, so – but, like, I don't know. I don't know if there's, like, someone that's, like, maybe a little bit older that he could maybe – but, hey, like, Derek Jeter was, what, 40-something when he started dating Hannah Davis, so –
I'm
sure there's, like
– Who's Hannah Davis?
Hannah Jeter. She was a Sports Illustrated model.
Oh, like, that's Jeter's wife?
That's Jeter's wife. She was 25 at the time. He was like 42. So he married and had kids, and he has kids with.
How old is she now?
Current, I don't know, 30?
Oh, she's not that much older than us. How old is he, 50? He's got to be like close to 50, right?
They got married in 2016. She's currently 32.
Oh, okay. So here we go. I got the odds, actually.
There's
odds. I got
the odds. And Derek Jeter is 48. I got so odds. Closing in on 50. Okay, let's get the odds.
Okay. I'm just going to read out. So Alessandra Ambrosio is the favorite.
Who?
I don't know. I've never heard some of these names. But then there's the obvious ones. Like, there's, like, Kendall Jenner is listed. Ooh, the Lindsay Donner. Vaughn is a good one. Lindsay Vaughn dated Tiger
Ambrosio
Woods.
Is a Brazilian model. She's 41.
Okay, that makes sense. Taylor
who'd
Swift is plus
Taylor,
one. Taylor Swift is on there. Taylor's, oh God, could you imagine? Kim Kardashian, Gigi Hadid, Adriana Lima, Jennifer Aniston, Naomi Osaka. Osaka's listed. Wow.
I was gonna say Jennifer Aniston.
Naomi Osaka's like our age, I think. She's dating. I thought Naomi Osaka was dating Cordae, like the rapper Cordae. I don't know if they broke up.
Yeah,
but,
she's 25. She was born in 1997.
Yeah, no, she's super young. Yeah. Yeah. And she's like a stud too.
I know she's really good.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift was a name drop though. I was not expecting Taylor Swift to be.
Dude, people are going, dude, I can't believe these people. So she apparently she drops the pre-sale thing for her tour, and people are going nuts waiting in queues for like days just to spend the night at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, they each their own, I guess.
The resale is like 21K. How valuable are these tickets?
I saw that. I really should have hopped in and just waited in queue to see if I could possibly get a ticket.
Who's get like what is like what's happening at these shows? Why is it so much?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree.
Because people are gonna buy them regardless. I don't listen to her. Is she that good? Is it like generational? I know it's generational.
I think
but
she's
like,
good. I know she's obviously generational because she has.
Yes,
I think she's good.
I know that.
But you don't. You wouldn't like her music. I mean, it's plain and simple.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I haven't listened to like I don't know. I knew her when I listened when like my mom would play it in the radio when I was like growing up because she's been around for a while. She's been around for like 15 years, I think. Teardrops on my guitar. That was a banger. That was like 08.
You were like in before high school.
Oh God, way before high school. Yeah, no, she was around. I'm trying to look at more Tom Brady odds. I'm trying to see like maybe there's a different. Okay, here we go. Look, there are three favorites for Tom Brady's next girlfriend. This was posted 10 days ago.
Ryan, this is what the people want.
I want like I'm incurious. It's just like the same names basically.
I assume Vegas knows everything.
Yeah, like, I don't get how they know everything. Like,
bro, they have so many connections. Like,
I don't.
So, you
I
know
don't
how much money runs
it.
Through gambling.
I know, dude. Like, did you a couple weeks ago? Did you see that thing with like where DraftKings boosted DraftKings had boosted Justin Herbert 1+ touchdown pass to +100, and then he doesn't throw a touchdown pass.
She was crazy.
It was like the first it was not just him not throwing a touchdown pass. It was the first. I got to look up what maybe we've spoken about it before, but it was the first time. Oh, speaking of Brady. Oh, God. Uh-oh. Wow. Yeah, Brady's getting sued.
Yeah, Brady's the FTX sued. Thing.
Oh yeah,
and the FTX. And Larry David thing. And all of them are getting
the FTX thing. Oh yeah. Dude, should I try the TB12 method? No, oh, dude.
He refuses to eat strawberries or something? I don't know. Something weird.
He refuses to eat strawberries? Dude, he refuses to eat everything.
I know.
He has, like...
The strawberries is an interesting one.
Do you know how many, like, gallons of water he has a day? It's, like, 12.
I mean, yeah. Well, water, you really can't drink enough water. That's not really saying anything.
I know, but it's, like, 12? That's a lot of effort.
Yeah, no, that is. Like, you have to... That's to the point where, like, you have to remember to, like, you have to force yourself to drink water. Like, you literally have to force. Bro, yeah. if I try to drink over a gallon, I'm like, damn it. And I remember to drink and I chug.
Oh, I stock up on water when I go to the Giants games. Like, I'll go in.
Why?
Because it's okay, in the press box. Yeah, it's free. It's there's the fridge.
So
I go.
Drink a lot?
Do I at the? They do not sell alcoholic beverages to us. They do not have those. Free? I don't know. It'd be cool though. I usually walk in. So by the way, I'll tell you the biggest perk. I get to walk in with a water bottle from outside the stadium.
Wow.
They let me go through. Water bottle in backpack on the side. I walk in. No questions asked. I go in.
That's crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah. You can't do that. You can't bring any water bottles. You can't. Did you know I got stopped by TSA and it took like 15 minutes one time. And I'm like, why am I in trouble? And they're like, yes, sir. Is this yours? And it's like a water bottle in my backpack that I forgot. I'm like, this took you 15 minutes.
TSA is sometimes very.
Like, you can't bring water bottles anywhere.
No.
But I bring my water in and then I get two more and I get a coffee right at kickoff. I do get the coffee at kickoff. Oh, yeah.
Do you get that for free too?
Oh, yeah. I got the little cup with the holder, the lid, so it doesn't spill. I have it set up right. And yeah, and because I don't know, I'm always exhausted, so I need it. We should do the TB12 method, and we should if you want to broadcast it on TikTok, that'd be sick.
Me going through the
two normal guys go through the
TB12 method,
the diet regimen of the world's greatest athlete. Let's see how they
for
do.
Sure.
Day two,
see how they survive.
Day two, we're like in the fetal position.
Day two, I'm like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
Day two, we're like vomiting because like I bet you the TB12 method has like an hour blocked out every week just for vomiting. Like you're telling me like
get a break.
Yeah, like you like like puke therapy. Like that's what it is. No, you can't eat. You have to see the the Wikipedia page, so I read it on Wikipedia what actually it is, and what like it and what it specifically entails, like the method. It there's a bunch of things he does not eat, like it's a there's a trying to look at what this thing is. He can't. You're right. He can't eat like certain fruits.
Yeah,
it's like
weird. I think strawberries are one of them.
No, strawberries really. Okay, here we go. He and his family adhere to a controversial strict diet. I love how they wrote controversial. Him and his family adhere to a controversial strict diet, the TB12 method, which has attracted much media attention. Brady advocates a daily water intake in ounces of half of one's body weight in pounds and personally consumes a couple hundred ounces daily. He must avoid fruits. I've never heard of you needing to avoid fruit. He avoids fruits, mushrooms, tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, coffee, Gatorade. Is he sponsored by Gatorade? White sugar, flour, gluten, dairy, soda, cereal, white rice, potatoes, and bread.
Interesting.
He said he prefers a diet of just organic food, saying that people do that. Other professional athletes who follow Brady's diet include Kirk Cousins. Wow. Hmm.
Hey, Kirk.
And look who's 8-1.
Hey, it's working.
Hey. If Daniel does the TB12 method, it's going to shoot up to 3 years, $95 million. Okay, let's be honest.
That's the one, like, the one that's, like, the thing he has to do. You have to, when he signs a contract, must do TB12 diet.
Yeah, he does the TB12 diet in the offseason. He comes back, he's like 2020 Josh Allen times 10, and it's like he lands like a
I'd be trapping Zach in the offseason, making him do the TB12 diet.
Joe Shane's got to pay him like $2 billion. Oh my God. Yeah. No, but Brady, Brady's going to date, actually. He's going to someone who works for Masked Singer. He's going to do that. Yeah.
It's going to be one of the other Masked Singers.
Because, you know, he was gone for 11 days from training camp, which must mean that he went to the Masked Singer, because apparently going on the Masked Singer takes 11 days. And apparently someone who's getting paid $400 million by that same network doesn't have the power to get out of a Masked Singer commitment so we can go to training camp.
Dude, it was just the dumbest conspiracy theory
I've ever seen.
They got him by the balls at the end of the day. They got him by the balls. So they got him. That's why he was gone. He was trying to figure out his relationship, which ended up failing. So I guess he should have been at training camp.
It's something that had to do, it had to do with Giselle.
100%.
I wonder what that means for his future. Like, I wonder if he, like, is it, since it's not, because, you know, one of the reasons why there was always he coming back, is he not, is because Giselle didn't want him coming back to football.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this is, I wonder if he's in, like, revenge mode.
That's what people are saying, that he's
2-0 since the divorce, I think.
He is, So people are saying this is, like, him getting his, like, he's in revenge mode. He's going to be, like, MVP again, like, take over the NFL.
Do you imagine? It's, like, that another title.
Funny. I would actually cry.
Dude, I can't have another Brady title, dude. I don't hate him. I don't have anything against him at all. I wasn't a Jet fan growing up, like, but I need, like, change. I think the whole NFL is, like, listen.
I mean, people are getting sick of Mahomes already, so it's like, if it comes down between Mahomes and Brady, I'm taking Mahomes every day of the week.
Once Mahomes wins, like, three, then I'll be sick of him. I'm like, okay, that's not for the next one. Now, like, the next guy I want to see win three. Yeah. Because there's so many quarterbacks I want to see win. Like, really. Like, I want to see, like, Josh Allen win a Super Bowl. I also want to see, like, Burrow win a Super Bowl. You do?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, no, it would be. I like him. He's cool.
I have nothing against Kirk. I want to see Lamar win a Super Bowl. That'd be cool.
They should have won a Super Bowl 3 years ago. First of all, they had that 2019 Ravens team just absolutely outplayed themselves. Like, just they blew it. Their chance was to win that title in 2019. Like, Lamar's MVP year. So, before we head out, we leave anything out. I think we got a lot. We started off
talking about Jets, Giants, and then we went to who Brady's gonna date, and then, you know.
Hey, I'm trying out the TB12 method.
I think basically, you know, if Zach plays like ass against the Pats, I may have to I'm either gonna rant angrily or I'm gonna break down in tears and start crying. So it's gonna be one or the other. The next time we podcast, I'll be talking all my shit about how I've always had faith in that. So it's either like angry / crying or like exuberant. Screaming.
The Giants. These are must win games for both teams. The Giants got to win two before they end up having to face. By the way, the Giants are just a game out of this division. Like the Giants, all of a sudden. This Thanksgiving game with the Cowboys becomes huge. The two matchups are already going to be huge against Philly, but I mean the first one at least might be flexed to Sunday night, which would be crazy. It's Giants got to win this game. You can't lose to a team like Detroit, especially when you have eyes on the division. Must win games. But Rob, as always, thank you for coming on.
Of course, can't wait to either be very happy or very sad next week. One way or the other, it's going to be.
Oh, it'll be a whirlwind of emotions no matter what
happens. That's for sure.
On Sunday. Talk next week.
Sounds good.
All right. If you made it this far, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 123 of the Wide Right Podcast. Follow us on Twitter @RyanHoney, ESNY, and @RobertLettinen.
Listen to and subscribe to the Wide Right Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever in the world you get your podcast. Rob, thanks so much, and talk to you guys next week.